Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're going to look at just a couple more passages on the subject of church discipline on the broadcast today. And then, Lord willing, we're going to lay that one to rest. But I recognize that the neglect of this teaching in the Bible, that is so often ignored by Christians and churches in our day, requires that we deal with it rather thoroughly. And so we are, of course, working our way through the Standard Baptist Church Covenant, and in paragraph 2 we find that members commit themselves to sustaining the worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines of their church. And it's that discipline part that we are talking about now. Now we've examined the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 18, who introduced the subject of church discipline, and then we have examined in pretty good detail the command of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 regarding church discipline, which was occasioned by their neglect of that practice. And Paul scolds them and corrects them and tells them what they must do in putting out of their membership a member, so-called brother, who may and probably was not a real Christian, but be that as it may, we can't see his heart. We have to treat people according to their outward profession and this is the part that many people don't understand today, their outward actions. We cannot see the heart, so we cannot judge whether or not a person has been born again or not. And we, therefore, accept their profession of faith at face value, and we believe the best until their outward actions become so grievous and so such serious transgressions of Christian living that we no longer can give them the benefit of the doubt, and we have to confront them, call them to repentance, and their failure to do that, then we have to put them out of the church. Now, this is not the only place in Scripture that deals with this. We see, for example, the passing reference in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul said in verse 18, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander," and then these telling words in the last part of verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, "whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now that is language very similar to what Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 concerning the Corinthian church member living with his mother, stepmother. Paul said he must be delivered unto Satan. Delivering someone unto Satan there very clearly was putting them outside the church, excommunicating them, stripping them of their church membership, not allowing them to continue to enjoy the privileges, and we recognize here the protection of being part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the visible church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, the instructions are very clear, and the requirement is very clear, namely, that it is the church's responsibility to judge its own members and to deal with the members of the church according to their behavior. And when their behavior becomes so serious that it violates proper behavior in those areas that are listed as disciplinary offenses, then the church is called upon to act. Now the question is, are there other disciplinary offenses besides the ones that were listed in 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 6, which we have already covered? And the answer to that, I think, is yes. There Paul deals entirely with moral and ethical behavior, things like fornication and other sexual immorality, drunkenness, dishonesty in finances and business practices, stealing and so forth. He deals with these kinds of moral and ethical offenses, but here in 1 Timothy, it seems that he is probably talking about a doctrinal matter. Let me read it to you again. Verse 18, This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Having faith. What is faith? Well, faith, of course, is believing the Word of God. But sometimes it is used in the sense of the Word of God that is to be believed. That is the faith. Jude talks about contending for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. That's the Bible, the Word of God, sound doctrine, the faith, the Christian faith. And that seems to be something of what Paul has in mind here when he says to Timothy, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. If people are not continuing to believe the faith, the Word of God, the doctrine that has been delivered to them, they have abandoned the faith, the Christian faith. And he says some, concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. They've abandoned it. They've destroyed their lives, not in immorality or drunkenness or idolatry, but in abandoning sound doctrine. And he names who two of these people are, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And in another reference, Paul mentions an Alexander who was teaching that the resurrection is past already. And I would take it that that is probably the same Alexander, and therefore is probably the faith, the shipwreck of the faith that he's talking about here. Because denying the resurrection of Christians, the future resurrection at the second coming of Jesus Christ would be a very serious departure from the faith, once for all delivered unto the saints. And so that probably is what Paul has in mind here. I'm trying to find the reference to Alexander denying the resurrection, and I'm not putting my hands on it right now, here. I do see this reference to Alexander in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he greatly resisted our words. Again, that would seem to imply rejecting the faith, the sound doctrine, the teaching, the doctrinal teaching of the Apostle Paul. And Paul talks about Alexander the coppersmith in that regard, and that would seem to be the same one that he's referring to in 1 Timothy chapter 1, who had made shipwreck of the faith, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Blaspheme is speaking against the truth. Speaking against God, speaking against Christ, speaking against the truth, speaking against sound doctrine. So, the question was, are there other disciplinary offenses besides the ethical and moral behavior referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6? And the answer is yes. When there are serious departures from sound doctrine, that must be dealt with. That must be confronted. That must be corrected. And if it's not corrected, then such persons must be removed from the church, delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme, as Paul puts it here. So, there is, what it really boils down to is this. The Bible teaches that there is bottom line Christian doctrine, and there's bottom line Christian behavior. There is room for some differences of understanding within the Christian church. We have all different kinds of denominations, and they don't all teach the same thing. But as long as they are orthodox and sound in the faith, we are not going to make, for example, mode of baptism a disciplinary offense. We're not going to make church government a disciplinary offense. There are things that are not serious enough to require church discipline, and we don't have to have absolute conformity on everything. We certainly wouldn't make eschatology, the doctrine of last things, interpretations of prophecy. We wouldn't make those doctrinal requirements and disagreements on those disciplinary offenses. We shouldn't separate over things like that. I remember years ago when I actually candidated to church in Arizona, did not feel at all inclined to accept that church. And I made that clear at the time after having visited and found out that actually there were a lot of problems with this church. But one of them was the church had split over the issue of who are the sons of God who are referred to in the book of Genesis when it tells us that the sons of God became involved with the daughters of men, and there were giants born in the land and so forth. And there are a couple of interpretations. Some think that those sons of God have to do with the line of Seth as opposed to the line of Cain. Others think that the sons of God are actually angels, and I actually happen to believe that's probably the correct interpretation myself on the basis of what I read in the book of Jude. But this church had actually split over that. If I recall, it was a fairly small church, but the pastor had taken one position, and the teacher of the adult Sunday school class, there was only one adult Sunday school class, had taken the opposite position, and so fierce was the contention between them that eventually the church split, and there were two churches. There was the Sons of God Baptist Church and the Angels Baptist Church, Fallen Angels Baptist Church. Incredible. That's not the kind of thing we ought to be arguing over. But when someone denies the virgin birth, when someone denies the cardinal doctrines of the faith, when someone denies the bodily resurrection of Christ, when someone denies other elements of the doctrine of the resurrection, when someone denies doctrines that relate to God and to salvation, then that cannot be allowed. That has to be corrected, or that has to be removed. So are there other things that are disciplinary offenses? Yes. There's bottom line Christian doctrine, there's bottom line Christian behavior, and members of the church who refuse to submit to bottom line doctrine and bottom line behavior are going to have to be dealt with and eventually removed from the congregation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.